Well, I'm very thankful to be back out here this morning. I really do appreciate your prayers. Need the Lord to bless me. I was thinking of what Brother Galen was saying, you know, that if the Lord doesn't bless me, then He's not going to bless you. And I really do want the Lord to bless you all this morning. So I ask that you pray for me. I can say that what I have this morning, I was blessed with. And I pray that the Lord will help me to deliver in such a way that you'll be blessed by it too. I don't know everybody's experience here. I don't know what happened back in your life. The experience that you had with God, maybe in your childhood, maybe recently. But I have to believe that if you're saved today, you've had an experience with God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is an experience with the Lord, an encounter with God, so to speak, where you've met the Lord and He's met you, and you just don't come away from that the same. When you really meet God, you don't leave from that experience or that encounter the same way as you came. And that is my prayer, that we would not go away the same as when we've come to the Lord. I think of so many that they come to God, but then they leave the same way that they came. And the Lord has so much more for us than that. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to start reading in verse 36. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." I think of this little scenario here where Jesus goes to this man's house who's a religious leader of the time. And I have to believe that both of these people, the Pharisee as well as the woman, needed Jesus. They both needed Him. But I look at their experiences and see that they have a very different experience as a result of being in Jesus' presence. I think of the Pharisee who maybe considers Jesus as an equal, a guest in his home. It appears that he had questions about his character, really, or whether or not he really was a prophet. But then you have this woman who heard that Jesus was there. And I don't know, but it sounds like she just invited herself. Said, "Jesus is there, and that's where I want to be." And so her great need just had her come in and invite herself, and it says that she stood at Jesus' feet weeping and washed His feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with ointment. So Jesus understands the heart of the Pharisee and understands what he's thinking within his heart. And so this is how he addresses him in verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one ought 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Again, I look at this experience and I see that there's two people here who have had an experience or an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with God, if you will. And how very different those encounters are. Or how very different those experiences are. Who went away from this experience with something? You know, we look back at our salvation experience, and I would hope to say that every one of us can go back and find that moment where Jesus met us, where Jesus spoke to us, and He interacted with us in such a way that it pricked our hearts and it drew us into Himself. It says in the song that we sang, Love lifted me. I would hope that we would be able to testify that God lifted us up by His love and His mercy into us, that drew us into Himself and gave us an experience such as this woman has, and has told us within our heart, Your sins are forgiven. You are free. You are cleansed. You are delivered. You are no longer the same person that you came to me as. But you are going to go away from this experience a whole new person with a whole new life, whole new perspective and future, whole new existence in your life simply from an encounter with Jesus. But I think too that sometimes we might have an encounter with Jesus and not react in the same way that this woman has reacted, and not really see the need that we have when we come before God, that we would not see our wretchedness or our fallings or failings or inadequacies or whatever it is our need is, that we come before Him and we don't see those needs, we don't see those things that we would require for us to mature and grow in our faith in God. And so we walk away the same way that we came. May the Lord help us to have this experience. I was thinking recently of how many have gone away. And sometimes I wonder if we really know how to help them get back. Is it really something that we specifically can do that will draw them back, that will lead them back? Or is it really simply this, that they would have another encounter with God, another experience with Him? Let's go to our next verse, Matthew chapter 9. starting in verse 20. Well, we'll go ahead and start at verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. I want to read the same passage, but we're going to read it in Luke. And that's in Luke chapter 8. Starting at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. The reason why I wanted to read both of these passages is because there was little details in each one that weren't in both. And so the first passage mentioned her faith and saying that she believed that if she could just get in there, if she could just get in his presence, just get within reach of him to barely touch the hem of his garment, that she would be whole. She believed that if she can just get near Jesus, that he would change her whole existence in life. Pressed in among a multitude that pressed Jesus. And that's why I want to read this portion of Scripture, is because Jesus was surrounded by many people. All of them pressing in and pushing and touching. And I mean, have you ever journeyed through a crowd, a huge crowd of people? Couldn't you do it without touching anybody? So Jesus, no doubt, was touching many people in that crowd. Many people were touching Jesus in that crowd. Many people were having encounters with Jesus in that crowd, so to speak. But only one did Jesus say, Who touched me? Only one that is at least spoken to us here walked away with something. Something powerful, something significant, something that would change her life completely as a result of an encounter with Jesus. She got within a touch. She got within reach to touch but the hem of his garment and was made completely whole. Thank God for that. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. I want to talk about somebody here in the Scriptures that we're all pretty familiar with. We're going to look at some about Paul, who was formerly Saul. Chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, referring to Stephen, who was stoned to death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. This is Paul, or Saul. 1 Timothy 1 and 13. This was Paul speaking. We'll start with 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And this was his testimony, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I want us to remember that about Paul. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Starting at verse 9. Paul says, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I want us to take that in. I want you to remember and have it be instilled in your mind of who Paul really was. A blasphemer, a persecutor of God's church, insomuch that he compelled them to blaspheme with the persecution that he forced upon them. Acts chapter 9. Starting at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I think of Paul's example and how treacherous of a man he was. I don't know that we really can grasp what has taken place in his testimony and what God has done in his life. But the Lord has used him as an example. And one of the things that I see in Paul is that it's like the Lord telling us that you can't get too far. You can't be too far away. You can't be too corrupt to be out of the reach of God, or to be out of the reach of an encounter with God. We have this experience with Paul where the Lord spoke to his heart and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I don't know about your experience of salvation, but I have a feeling that the Lord spoke to your heart one day, identified with you, perhaps reasoned with you, and said, come unto me. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe the mercy of God spoke to Saul here. And said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let's go to verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And this is Ananias' testimony of Paul. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And he rose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Can you imagine such a transformation? I think of an experience later after this where he tried to go to Jerusalem and the disciples didn't want to let him in because of his reputation, because of who he had been. And thankfully, one of the brothers testified on his behalf and said, hey, I know him. I've seen him. He's been preaching the gospel in Damascus and was even fled for his life for the gospel's sake. A transformation took place in his life. Why? What happened? What significant took place? So significant that a man of his caliber, wretched man, was delivered and set free. And if we were to go on and speak of his reputation after this, he was one of the paramount apostles in delivering the gospel to many people, Gentiles, Jews alike, barbarians. All because of an encounter with Jesus. All because of a moment in time where God spoke to his heart and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And his life was never the same since. Mark chapter 5. Starting at verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. And it goes on to speak of how Jesus cast the spirits out of this man. In verse 15, it says, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Think of this man and the transformation that took place in his life. He was cutting himself, screaming. They couldn't contain him. They couldn't bind him. They couldn't keep him bound. And yet, when they came back to see him, it says that he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. All because of an encounter with Jesus. All because he met the Lord. You know, I think back at my own life and I had one of these encounters where God spoke to my heart and ministered unto me. And I came away from that never the same. And I think about people and what the real need is, and I wonder how many people have come to meet God or come to a point in their life where God has spoken to their heart and they didn't give heed, or they didn't listen, or they didn't respond or go forward, and they left the same way that they had come. Think of so many people in the Scriptures. They came to Jesus. They had a need. They had a desire. Crippled. They were lame. They were leprous. Blind. Came into the presence of Jesus and left healed, whole, seeing. Never to be the same again because of the experience that they had with God. I think that no one is incapable of having that experience with God. Every one of us can have that experience, can have that hope, can come away from that experience a new person, delivered, freed, never to be the same again. You know, I think of a popular message of the day that we just are what we are. We come to God as we are, and He accepts us just as we are. And the truth of the matter is that every one of us, maybe we have come just as we were, wretched, blind, sinful, depraved, defiled. We came before God in that condition. But I pray to God that we did not leave the same way that we came. Because He did more than that. He came to do more than that, to deliver us from those things, or that we would leave His presence never to be the same, that we would be purified, sanctified, holy, filled with God's Spirit, just as Paul was filled with the Spirit of God as a result of Ananias laying hands on him and praying for him, as God had said. We don't have to have an encounter with God and walk away the same way that we came, but we can have much more than that. I think of these people's experiences. The woman who came before Jesus and bowed to Him and cried out unto Him. And He said, you know what? You're forgiven. I want you to go on home. You're forgiven. You're free. You're delivered. And I think of the joy and elation that took place in her heart as a result of that knowledge and that understanding that she was completely free, completely delivered, no more to be mentioned by God, the things that she had done. Free. I think of Paul and his experience and how difficult it must have been for him after his salvation experience to think of the things that he had done, the people that had cried out blasphemous things because of his torture or his persecution. Freed and delivered, forgiven by God. Some might say, can God really forgive me? Can God really forgive my sin? And I think that the Lord has made a point to give us examples of those who He did forgive. Paul being one of them. David being another. And I'm sure you all can help me with many more examples of people that have perhaps done much, much worse than you or I. And yet God forgave them and delivered them and made them a new man or a new woman, never to be the same again. The Lord can do that. He will do that. If you will have an encounter with Him, if you'll hear His voice, you'll hear Him say, come unto Me, and you respond to that call, He's going to make you a new person, where you'll leave this place and never to be the same. You know, when I think about those encounters, and a lot of times we look back at the encounter that we had when we got saved, the encounter that we had when we got delivered from our sins. But you know, there's more than just one encounter with Jesus in our lifetime. There's more than one experience like that. We can have an encounter with God today, where we get before the Lord and we're intimately face to face with Him, communing with Him and showing Him our desires and our expressing to Him our needs and confessing to Him, Lord, I need You to help me in this area or that area. Strengthen me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Teach me. And we can have those encounters again where God speaks to our heart and says, come, receive what it is that you need. Come, receive the blessing. Get that encouragement. Get that comfort. Get that strength that you need. Have that encounter with God. How do we get it? By being in His presence, by going before Him in prayer, seeking Him through His Word, crying out to Him, having a desire within our heart and knowing and seeing our need and lifting that need up to God so that He can fulfill that need. I think of the Pharisee who had Jesus right there in his house. And because he was unable to really grasp his real need, I think that what he received was very limited. I pray that he received more than what it shows there in the Scripture. But it seemed that what he had received was very limited. I believe that we, even today, can have an encounter with God where we will grow from it, Be inspired by it. Be strengthened by it, where the Lord would take us further in our walk with Him, further in our relationship with Him. I think of a scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe that as we get before the Lord and behold Him, get that face-to-face encounter with God, that we are going to be changed from glory to glory, and we're going to become more like Him by His Spirit within us. I don't believe we're all done. I believe there's so much more for us than what we have and what we've beholden. But God wants to have another encounter with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to reason with us and draw us nearer and nearer into Himself. I was thinking about what was said during the Sunday school this morning and how God spent 7 days to create this world and all of the creation that we are aware of, and how it was said that He's been preparing a place for us for I don't know how long, thousands of years, preparing a place to think what He could do in 7 days, what would He be able to do in thousands? To think what God has done in your life in just a short time, of how much more He can do when given more time. May the Lord help us to draw near unto Him and allow Him to have that experience once again with us, that fresh and clean experience, that we would be able to draw near to Him and receive all that He has for us. I would say this, that there's no one too far gone, but everyone can come to Him. And if the Lord is speaking to your heart and drawing you near unto Himself, I would suggest that you hear that call and draw near unto Him and receive what it is that He has for you. Because the Lord has so much more for us than what we've already attained. And I thank God for it. I want all that God has for me, and I want to enter into His presence and receive more and more from Him, that I might be more and more like Him from glory to glory. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. May the Lord bless each one of us.